Welcome to My Journey of Faith, hosted by Cynthia McCutcheon, wife, mother, Bible teacher, and speaker. A gathering place for Christian women to proclaim the love of Christ by sharing compelling life stories to encourage, inspire, and equip women on their personal journeys of faith. For the next 30 minutes, please join us on this journey. Here's your host, Cynthia McCutcheon.
Hello, everyone. I want to welcome you today to My Journey of Faith. I'm sitting here on a beautiful summer day, just looking out my window, just contemplating all that God has given us and the journeys that He takes us on, and even the journeys of those that He brings into our lives. And that's kind of what we're talking about today. My guest is Jennifer Link, and she is the mama of a three-year-old who is still trying to find his voice. She writes about faith, motherhood, adoption, and apraxia at her website, www.jenniferjacksonlink.com. She's an author of Bringing Home the Missing Link, A Journey of Faith to Family. Her children's book, Jackson Finds His Voice, is scheduled to be released soon. So I want to welcome. Hi, Jennifer. How are you?
Hi. I'm good. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I'm excited to hear about your story and this journey that God has put you on. I love the subtitle, A Journey of Faith to Family. So let's just kind of jump in and hear about this journey.
Okay. Well, my husband and I realized pretty quickly that we were not going to be able to have kids the old-fashioned way. I had some medical reasons for not being able to conceive, but it was pretty quickly that God made it very clear that we were supposed to adopt. And so we decided to start the adoption process and thought we were going to go to Africa and adopt children from Ethiopia. But as we were going down that road, God had another plan. And just through our experience with international adoption and thinking that we were going to adopt from a third world country, God just really began to change my heart and just kept telling me, you know, there were people in my own backyard, in my own community that needed help and needed to know His love. And so one morning I just prayed a very bold prayer, and I wasn't happy at my job, and I just said, God, I feel like you're telling me that I'm supposed to go into ministry. Okay, so show me what that means. And about 2 weeks later, I was accepting a job position at the local homeless shelter in Oklahoma City where we live. I had no idea that just 2-3 months after starting that job, I would meet the young woman who would be the birth mother of our son. And so our adoption journey took a detour, and it's still just crazy to me how it all worked out. Only God could have made that happen, because I thought, oh, I'm going to lose my job, and there's no way that this is going to work out. But it did, and we adopted her little boy at birth, and he's now three, so that's been 3 years ago, which is crazy to me, but that's kind of just our adoption story. In my book, goes into more detail about our journey and all the twists and the turns, but that's kind of it in a nutshell.
That's interesting. So many times we hear about people that think they have to go overseas and go to a third world country or something like that. And I love how you said you've just felt God saying there's people in your own backyard that needs that.
Yes, yeah. And I think, too, just, as we were going on our, as we were going through our journey to adopt privately here in the United States, I learned a whole lot more just about the need, the need for adoptive parents here in our own country. Our local agency, literally needs families to adopt children. And what just blows my mind is that so many families still want a white baby that looks just like them. And that's why they need families who are open to biracial and black children and children of all ethnicities. And so you know, just on our journey, we learned of the need here, not just through private adoption and agencies, but even through foster care. There are just so many kids right here in the United States that need forever families.
That is true. I know that in the county that I live in, there is a big need, a very big need. There are so many that are in foster care and all of that, and it's just astounding. So I love how God puts that on the hearts of some people, that they're just called to that. I love that. So let's talk a little bit about Jackson. You had, in your introduction, we had mentioned apraxia. Now, please explain to what that is.
Okay, well, I'll just tell you just a little bit of background. When Jackson turned about 18 months old, he was pretty much only saying mama. And so his pediatrician was a little bit concerned that he wasn't talking more. So we started speech therapy at 18 months old. And knew that he could hear, knew that he understood everything that we said. He just wasn't talking. And so still, you know, at 2, he still wasn't making much progress. So we began additional speech therapy. And we've been doing that, like I said, since 18 months old. But it wasn't until he turned 3, which was this past December, that we learned that he doesn't just have a speech delay, he has a speech disorder, and it's called apraxia. And what that is, it's a motor planning speech disorder. So the best way to explain it is that he knows what he wants to say. He literally can't. Like, his little brain has a really hard time making his mouth move the way that it needs to move in order for the words to come out. So a lot of times you can tell, like, he really wants to say something, but it just won't come out. So literally, if he didn't have speech therapy, he probably would not learn how to talk. This isn't something he's just going to grow out of. It's not one of those things like, oh, he'll talk when he's ready. A child with apraxia has to hear a word approximately 3,000 times before it becomes part of their vocabulary. So we do a lot of repeating. Pretty much everything we do on a daily basis is like a speech therapy lesson. But we're making great progress. He's saying a lot more, and but we still have a long road ahead. It's more like a marathon instead of a sprint.
So how is this challenging, encouraging, walking you along your faith journey?
Oh, you know, I think that from the moment that we said yes to adoption, every single step has just strengthened my faith and made me depend more on Jesus. I tell people all the time that becoming a mother, I've never loved so fiercely, been frustrated so easily, or needed Jesus so desperately. And it really is the truth. I think about just the challenges that we face right now, and I don't know how people face these kind of things without a really deep faith. And that doesn't mean there are days that I cry and there are days that I want to give up, but the thing that I constantly tell myself and I constantly tell Jackson is that he is fearfully and wonderfully made. And I might get emotional. This doesn't surprise God. And there's another verse in the Bible that I can't think of exactly what it is, but it pretty much says that before a word is formed on our tongue, God knows it. And I just remind myself of that often, that God knows exactly when those words are going to come. And there's another part in the Bible. It talks about the parents, the disciples are asking Jesus, who sinned, the parents or the little girl who's blind? And Jesus said, no one sinned. Like, this is happening so that I'll get the glory, so that people, you know, so they'll depend on me. And that's what I pray our story always does, is gives God the glory, that it is a story where others can see him working and others can see his faithfulness, and just that we shine his light. And it's through our challenges and through our struggles that he does get the glory, and people get to witness miracles. And we see small miracles every single day with Jackson. And it's things that some people with a typical developing child would probably take for granted. But we celebrate every single word. I mean, it's a big celebration in our house. And he finally rode his tricycle the other day without any help. And that's a really big deal because of the motor planning, just the brain telling the body what to do. And he got on and he started riding. And, you know, that to me is a huge miracle. And so God is teaching me a lot through this. Probably some things I haven't fully learned yet, but he's getting us through one day at a time, just a lot of prayer. Once again, just remembering that Jackson is fearfully and wonderfully made, and that he's got a plan for him. And I really believe that he has a plan for Jackson, and I pray every day that he will use his story just for his glory.
I would have no doubt that will happen, especially whenever you always remind the child. You know, I think it's great to remind a child, no matter what stage of development they are in, that they are fearfully and wonderfully made. Because, gosh, even if we didn't have any problems, we still need to know that.
Yeah, exactly.
So, as you're going through this, you're digging in. Does it? How do you help others around you maybe see that they need to depend on God and let Him be the one that gets the glory out of certain situations, whether it be a situation like yours, or because I know you said you were praying that. And you felt that God said in a ministry, and what does that look like? So not only is it a ministry to your child, it's a ministry to others. So how is God prompting you to minister to others through this journey that he's placed you on?
Well, I think, you know, even before we adopted Jackson, I'm a writer, and so I blog and all of those things, and I just, for me, I've always wanted to be transparent. I always try to be very transparent, very honest. I know sometimes that makes people uncomfortable. But just like today, the past few days have just been kind of rough. I've just been really weary and like, oh gosh, can I keep doing this? You know, I've just had a few rough days. And I just let my readers know that. And that's okay. It's okay to have a rough day, you know. That doesn't mean that my faith is, you know, going to crumble or anything like that, because I'm human and I'm going to have a rough day. So I just, on my blog and on my Facebook page and just everything that I write, I just try to be super transparent. I'm not some superwoman. I'm not. Like, I could not do this without Jesus. I could not do this without the strength that God gives me every day. And you know, it doesn't, and for me, it's kind of my tagline when I first became a mom was just offering hope to first-time mothers who aren't quite sure what they've gotten themselves into, because I wanted to be a mother for years and years. I mean, I thought that was the one thing that I was supposed to be. And those first few months, actually the first year, were so, so hard. And I remember just about 3 weeks after we brought Jackson home, I remember locking myself in the bathroom just crying, like thinking, okay, I can get in my car and I can just go somewhere, because I had a baby who cried all the time with colic. And so very early on, like, I knew that I could not do this in my own strength. But I've always, you know, I had people say, well, how can you complain, or how can you, you know, just be so honest about how hard it is when you prayed for this for so long, or you wanted this. And I just think that is how, when we're honest and when we're transparent, that is how we connect with others. That's to be able to say, you know what, it's okay. Like, I understand. I've been there. that's what makes other people want just to get into deeper fellowship and to realize that, oh, okay, I'm not the only one who feels crazy, or, okay, I'm not the only one who's had a rough day. And it's okay to have that, you know. So just that transparency and the being real, I think is just really important to my ministry, and just letting people know that there's always hope. There's always hope.
I applaud you and so agree with that. We have, in our culture, decided that a mask on us is the best thing, and not letting people see what real struggles we have. And when we have those struggles and how we get by with them with God and our faith, I think that is very commendable, because not very many people are brave enough to do that, but it's so needed. And I'm so excited about what you said.
Thank you.
So let's just kind of look at maybe what, if there was a mom out there, because you are saying, you know, for those moms that are new moms, because, gosh, it's been 24 years since I was a new mom. So I know that, you know, I know the struggles are there. There's still a lot of things, pressures on a new mom. But how could you today encourage someone, you know, some really practical steps maybe that you've gone through, that you've seen, that, or even a mom of a toddler, you know, how can you encourage them today?
I think that someone asked me not too long ago, a girl I went to high school with, she has a 3-year-old and she has twins who are 9 months old. And she says, how do you find time to have quiet time? And I was kind of laughing, and I said, you know, I said, I look back and that first year with Jackson was just survival mode. And I can remember some nights, we would be up all night, and all I needed to do was just sing. And I remember, like, old hymns would come to mind, or, you know, I would just sing Jesus Loves Me over and over and over. And at that point in time, that's all I could do. I couldn't sit for an hour deep into the Word. I couldn't do that. It just wasn't possible in that season. But I could just sit there, and I could sing those praise songs, or I could sing those old hymns from my childhood. And I told her, I said, I remember one morning, and Jackson was, he was older, and he was having breakfast, and I was sitting in the chair, and I was trying to just, you know, just spend a little time in the Word, and he was up, and he had his yogurt hands all over my Bible, and I just kind of stopped, and I was, you know, trying not to get irritated. And I remember talking to my husband later, and he said, you got to understand, God sees that you're trying. He gets it. He gets that you can't sit in that chair uninterrupted for an hour. He sees that you're trying. He sees your heart. And that's what I told my friend. I said, he sees. He knows that though that little person needs every ounce of you. He understands that you may have only gotten a few words read that day. We just have to cut ourselves some slack, you know. I think that that's what it is. Like, because now I'm at a place where I do get to have a more in-depth quiet time with the Lord, either when Jackson's in speech therapy or when he's at school, or there are mornings that I actually can sit in my chair and he's playing in his room and I don't get interrupted. But every season's different, and you just have to be able to be flexible and do things a little differently. And most of all, remember that God sees that you're trying. That's what matters to him. That's all that matters to him.
Those are very wise words. And so so cool that your husband is the one that spoke those over to you so that you could see that, because that is so true. So many times we try to put the pressure on, it's got to look a certain way.
Right.
That is very, very good words. I love that. Okay, so you've written a book. that is tells about your journey, bringing home the missing link, a journey
right.
of faith to family. But then you have a new book coming out. It's Jackson Finds His Voice, and it's a children's book. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah. I've always kind of had a dream of writing a children's book, and it just, you know, at first I thought, oh, I'll write one about adoption, but there's a lot of children's books about adoption. And so one day I literally was driving home. I had just taken Jackson's speech, and God spoke very clearly. You are supposed to write a book about a little boy finding his voice. And so I came home and put Jackson down for a nap, and I wrote the book, at least the first draft, in about an hour. The words just came, and I knew very clearly this is what God wants me to write a children's book about. So it's just a book. There are, now that we know that Jackson has apraxia, there are a lot of kids with apraxia, and a lot of people still don't know what that is. And so the book is just, my hope is first and foremost that it's going to be a tool that Jackson can use to share his story. Like when he starts preschool and when he starts school, that we can sit and we can read that to his class and they can understand, you know, why he doesn't talk the same way that they do. And then also that it will just be a resource that other families, and maybe even children, maybe they don't have apraxia, but maybe they are nonverbal, that they can use just to share their story and to communicate with others, you know, what they're facing. And so that's my hope for the book. And so, yeah, I'm really excited. I'm hoping that it's going to be out within the next week or so. We're getting really, really close to it being ready to purchase through Amazon.
Oh, wow. So illustrations in it and all of that?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So found an illustrator and literally everything just came together. Once again, just made me realize that this truly was something that God wanted me to do, because it just all worked out too perfectly, you know?
Right. Yeah. So what is the, if you don't mind me asking, kind of the storyline?
It just kind of talks about, it starts out just, you know, explaining that, you know, Jackson is going to be on this journey to learn his ABCs. I think that's one of the things, you know, sometimes that makes me sad, is that kids his age are singing their ABCs and they're, you know, things that he can't do yet. And so it just talks about, you know, that he's on this journey, and that it starts from when he was little. As a baby, he didn't babble and coo a whole lot. And then, you know, like I said, he only had that one word. He had mama for a really, really long time and nothing else. And then it talks and explains about how he goes to speech therapy and what that is and what he does there. And then it talks about how his speech therapist told him he had apraxia, which is kind of a scary word, but it literally just means that his brain hasn't quite caught up with his mouth yet, or his mouth hasn't quite caught up with his brain. We have some pages in there just about, you know, celebrating certain words that he said, and towards the end of the book, it talks about how, you know, sometimes it's not always fun having a speech disorder, but that I remind him, that mom reminds him that he is fearfully and wonderfully made, and that God will use this. God will use this for his glory. And just at the end, we kind of wrap up letting the reader know that they too are also fearfully and wonderfully made, and God also has a plan for them.
That is wonderful. What a resource to put into hands of parents with children that may be struggling with that, or better yet, the teachers to help explain to other children or even siblings,
right,
what this is going through. That is such a great concept, and I'm sure it will be well used.
Therapists.
Well, Jennifer, we are getting close to our time to be ending. I want to give you just a few words, maybe that just a few minutes, maybe that you just want to encourage someone out there, something that just maybe God has put on your heart, a scripture or just a few words of encouragement?
Okay, I think today, just the blog post that I wrote today, something my preacher said a couple of weeks ago was, what if on the other side of our breaking point is waiting the biggest miracle we've ever seen? And so today I just want to encourage people, whether you're struggling with a child who has special needs or you're struggling to conceive and you're waiting to bring home a child through adoption, whatever hard thing you face, don't give up. Like, the miracle is coming. I believe that. I've seen so many miracles through our journey. And so today, just whatever you face, the miracle's coming. Hang on. Keep believing. Keep trusting in God. He will use it all for His glory.
I love that. You know, that's kind of interesting because pretty much I heard that last night and held in a little bit of different wordings, but very close to it. You know, so many times we're the struggles, but wait a minute, something better's coming. And
right, yeah.
I'm so glad that you shared that with us.
Well, thank you very much for this opportunity and just praying that it encourages people out there who just, you know, need to remember to keep going.
Exactly. Well, Jennifer, I want you to tell them again how they can find you on your website.
Okay. My website is www.jenniferjacksonlink.com. And on my website, you can also, find my Facebook page and my Twitter and also links to my books as well.
That is wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being on and sharing with us today.
Thank you.
And for those of you listening, I want to thank you also for joining us, for listening in. Maybe you have not been going through some type of struggle or something that needed encouragement, but you know a new mom or a mom with a toddler or someone that's just going through some struggles, that this show can encourage them. I just encourage you to link it and share it with other women out there. And I want to thank you also for joining us today, for just being faithful and listening to the stories of my journey of faith. And for those of you out there that need a special encouragement, I just pray that you will see God in it all. And like Jennifer said, what's over on the other side of your breaking point is a miracle coming. Until next week, I just pray that you have a wonderful and blessed day. Goodbye.